the 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com newsroom, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. I'm Gary Stevens. This news is brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. The sun will be breaking through the clouds as this afternoon goes along, and it might be a little chilly. Great sleeping weather tonight along the lakeshore. A look at Allen's hometown forecast from WHTC.com follows this news. More details are still forthcoming after a death at Fenville High School over the weekend. A yet unnamed official working an Invitational High School cross-country meet collapsed just as the boys' race began on Saturday morning, and he succumbed at an unnamed hospital. An AED installed at the site in the wake of Wes Leonard's sudden death at Fenville High's gym 2 years ago was utilized, but it failed to revive the victim, whose identity wasn't immediately disclosed pending notification of distant relatives. An autopsy is also pending as to determine the cause of death. A crash just southeast of Grand Haven yesterday afternoon hospitalized an 18-year-old Grand Haven woman with serious injuries. According to Ottawa County Sheriff Sergeant Kevin Allman, Megan Morehouse was driving westbound on Mercury Drive near 148th Avenue, while two Grand Haven men, 25-year-old Donald Ashley and 24-year-old Dustin Young, were in Ashley's pickup truck going eastbound.
Morehouse entered the curve and crossed over the center left turn lane and into the path of Ashley. The vehicles struck nearly head-on.
Rescuers had to extricate Morehouse from her car, and she eventually was taken to Spectrum Butterworth Hospital for treatment of broken arms and legs. Ashley wasn't hurt. While Young suffered a minor arm injury, the crash remains under investigation. Authorities have been searching since Saturday for a missing 10-year-old boy in Belding. Devon Morrison said he was going fishing in the Flat River, something that he regularly did, but this time he didn't come home.
He left about 12:30 and was last seen about 2:30. Police Chief Dale Nelson says the boy was last seen wearing a red sweatshirt and black jeans.
Well, I know Devon, and it's very concerning for me to know that Devon's out there somewhere, and we need to find him. We need to bring him home.
They have sent divers and used sonar to search the river and brought in a helicopter and hundreds of volunteers to search the area. They spent the day questioning his mother, her boyfriend, and sexual predators in the area, and so far, nothing. They'll broaden the search area today. They also spent several hours last night searching the home where the boy lived, removing 3 bags of items and taking photos in every room. Jim Whelan, WHTC News.
Law enforcement officers at all levels across the state returned to their patrols today with a heavy heart after losing one of their own last week. Manistee High School's gym was packed on Saturday morning for the funeral of State Police Trooper Paul Butterfield, slain in the line of duty by a gunshot wound to the head. Governor Snyder was on hand, and so too was fellow State Police Lieutenant Tom Kish.
Troopers and law enforcement officers across Michigan can have a reminder, I guess, more than anything, that we never know what we're going to be walking up on when we stop a car at a traffic stop.
State Police officials say that Butterfield did everything by the book when he pulled over a truck carrying a young couple near Ludington a week ago.
He was just known to be a very hard worker, just totally dedicated to his profession, consummate professional at his post, very well known and well liked in law enforcement circles in the area that he worked. Just a great guy. We're going to certainly miss him.
Eric and Sarah Nyes are being held separately in the Mason County Jail on various charges stemming from the incident, with a joint September 25th preliminary hearing scheduled. The incident adds poignancy to a claim that a group of law enforcement are making that Michigan is spending more money on prisons than it does on universities, and that's not right.
Studies that track the success and failure of students show that quality preschool programs increase the likelihood that a child will wind up in college, decrease their chances of winding up in jail.
Nationally, it shows that it would have a reduction of 200,000 fewer prisoners each year. And that would be 2 million more high school graduates over 10 years. And that's incredible.
Catherine Pellerin is with the group called Fight Crime, Invest in Kids. She says an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure in this case. Local members from the law enforcement community will present Congressman Fred Upton with a petition this morning urging him to support a measure that would greatly increase federal funding for preschool programs. John McNeil, WHTC News.
Governor Snyder is back in Lansing after the 10-day Far East trade excursion and the sad excursion to Manistee on Saturday. One of the first things he did this morning was to sign the Healthy Michigan package of bills that had cleared both chambers of the legislature before he had left for China and Japan. The vote on the Medicaid expansion program was admittedly one of the toughest that Senator Arlen Meekhoff had to make during his tenure in Lansing.
Think about money coming into the budget and money, how it works in the budget, and purely in an accounting way. It makes sense. because we are going to take general fund money out of there then, and that's other money we can spend on roads and whatever else we want to spend or save or return to the taxpayers, whichever we choose.
The West Isle of Republican voted no and feels that this should be more of a charitable issue rather than a regulatory matter.
I hope that we, as a society, care for people enough that we can provide some health care and provide personal responsibility and other things. And I'm more in the camp that I believe our faith community and the private sector could handle that better than expanding a government program.
State officials will seek a federal waiver of the October 1st deadline for implementing the program in order to remain eligible for full funding from Washington after the legislation failed to pass with immediate effect, meaning that it won't be in place until March 31st. Accessing mental health care is a challenge for the deaf in Michigan.
Many causes of deafness also cause brain damage, behavior problems, and learning disabilities. An estimated 90% of deaf children experience some form of abuse, which can lead to or exacerbate mental health problems. June Walakiewicz is a clinical social worker who specializes as a mental health provider in the Detroit area.
When you have a clinician who has no understanding of deafness and the mental health issues that go with deafness, and then an interpreter who is not skilled in mental health interpreting issues, you definitely end up with a lot of misdiagnosis and inappropriate treatment.
She says the state needs to create a division within the Department of Community Health that will handle statewide planning, oversight, and execution of deaf mental health services that can provide culturally competent care. Mary Sherman reporting.
With a magic number to clinch a third straight American League Central Division title now at 9, the Tigers opened up a three-game series versus Seattle at Comerica Park this evening. Alex Avila provided all of Detroit's offense yesterday with two homers and three RBI, including a tie-breaking solo blast in the eighth inning as the Bengals down visiting Kansas City 3-2. Rick Porcello gets the start for Detroit against Joe Saunders of the Mariners. Broadcast time on 1450 WHTC with Dan Dickerson and Jim Price is at 6:40 p.m. The Cubs are in Milwaukee to begin a three-game series versus the Brewers this evening. Dale Swaim's Bruins come to Miller Park after dropping 3-4 in Pittsburgh over the weekend. Edwin Jackson is on the mound for Chicago tonight. The White Sox are in the throes of yet another long losing streak. The current skid has hit six straight games following last night's 7-1 defeat at the hands of visiting Cleveland. Chicago DH Adam Dunn wasn't making any excuses for his team being swept by the Indians over the weekend. Eric Johnson takes the ball for the Sox in tonight's opener for a three-game series versus Minnesota at U.S. Cellular Field. Monday Night Football finds Pittsburgh at Cincinnati in an early AFC Central showdown, featuring two teams searching for a first victory of the season. Coverage on 1450 WHTC follows Detroit Tigers baseball. The Bears will be watching this game with some interest, as they'll be facing the Steelers in Pittsburgh next Sunday night in a contest that will also be on Holland's hometown station. Chicago won its second straight without a defeat with yesterday's 31-30 thriller over visiting Minnesota. The Lions, 1-1 after falling at Arizona yesterday, 25-21, are in Washington next Sunday. Hear the game on 1450 WHTC starting at 12 noon. Holland's hometown forecast from WHTC.com calls for decreasing cloudiness this afternoon and a high of 68. Mostly clear tonight, low 40. Mainly sunny tomorrow, high 72, and then Wednesday occasional showers, high 78. This news has been brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. Check them out online at yourhometownagency.com. I'm Gary Stevens for 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.